This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
How long have you been Ant-Man again?
Not long. It just sort of happened.
I wish I could fight bad guys like you.
I seem to mess it up almost every time.
Maybe you just need someone watching your back. Hi. Like a partner.
Dr. Pym, I actually heard what happened to you. You opened up the quantum realm. That's when this crazy creepy ghost who like walks through walls and stuff stole your tech. And now she wants to take over the world or whatever. Who would have believed that in your hour of need, you would turn to us?
Not me.
Because we robbed you. Do you remember? That's us.
The only chance we've got is both of you.
Ant-Man and the Wasp teaming up.
Follow my lead.
She seems more intense.
You go low, I'll go high.
I have wings. Why would I go low?
We're gonna die. I don't wanna die. We didn't die!
Hey, what'd I miss?
We were just tiny!
I was partners with Hank on a project called Goliath.
How big did you get?
My record, 21 feet. You?
65 feet.
65.
If you two are finished comparing sizes...
65.
As you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today, we've got a super, super, super special guest for you. We're joined by Doug of the band Hoobastank. Doug, how's it going?
Hey, that's a lofty introduction to live up to.
Hey,
that's a lot of supers. I think there was maybe three supers in there.
There was like three. Boom, 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 boom.
I'm good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm awesome. I'm super excited to talk to you today. So I'm excited because you guys have a new album that comes out on the 25th, which is actually tomorrow. And this album's been a long time coming. First off, I just want to ask you, how do you feel just personally now that the album is completed and it's going to be in the hands of the masses?
It's a combination of excitement, relief, and anxiety. It's kind of it's like a stew of emotions, although excitement and anxiety are kind of the same feeling. It just depends how you interpret it. You said now that the album's done, this is one of those records that's been done for a long time, actually. Like,
oh wow.
We started this, forget about the actual writing, like the demos and all that. Our last record came out pretty much at the end of 2012, so like basically 2013. And then I would say since 2014, we've always been kind of, you don't stop writing. You come up with ideas and you record them and stuff like that. So between 2013 and 2015, we were just always playing shows, but also writing and just living life and stuff. But we started recording this record in the fall of 2016, like basically in September, like September through January, we were in the studio every day, but it was done. By the beginning of 2017, it was done. Then we started mixing it, and then you go into like this tinker mode where you go back and you start to well, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that, you know, maybe we record one more song. And then the mixing process took a lot longer than it would normally, because the guy who mixed it, who did our last record also, we were a big fan of his work and we wanted him to do it. But he also does front of house sound for like Miley Cyrus and the Chainsmokers and stuff like that. So, and Beck. So he's gone all the time. So he, you know, he'd be able to mix a song and then he'd be gone for a week. Then we compile notes. So like, can you change this? Can you change that? And then he'd come back next week and do the, you know, make the adjustments and then send it out. And it, you know, it went back and forth like that for an entire record. So it just took a long time. So yeah, so like it's, like you said, oh, it's finally done. Like I've been listening to these songs in this form for over a year, you know, and my family would testify to that, especially my daughter. Out, Dad, you know.
Holy crap. That's really something to know. So like, what was the writing process like for you guys? Because I know, like you said, you're constantly writing, you're constantly refining things. I'm sure during that time period, there must have been a whole lot of things that happened to you, maybe some trials and tribulations or, you know, some ups and downs or anything. I mean, would you say that?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Would you say that the writing process was particularly arduous, or did it just kind of come together?
I think it's always a combination. There's some songs that come together just like so easy, you know. Those are the more rare songs. You kind of, ironically, you kind of look for that, but in a weird way, you can't. You just have to let it happen. Those are the songs that I feel where you don't have to, where you don't overanalyze things, not because you try not to, but you just feel like everything's working as it comes out, you know. And then there's songs that you have to, like I said, tinker with and adjust and make these little changes over a long period of time. And sometimes it's hard to know when to step away and just go, okay, it's done, you know, because almost if you leave that door open, sometimes you can't tell when it's done, you know, you keep on messing with it.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, as far as this album, I don't think lyrically, I don't think it was as difficult as maybe some have been in the past. I think the lyrics, I think partially just because there was a lot of time to compile lyrics. And sometimes if you're like under the any time constraints, so you know, we've got to do this record by this time and I don't have lyrics for, you know, four songs, then you start to press a little bit, you know, and you're under the gun to have to write lyrics, and rather than having a lot of stories and inspiration already there to write lyrics, you have to go find inspiration, you know? And I kind of feel like this one, there was enough time and enough life experiences and emotions that I went through that I had a lot to draw from. I didn't have to like go in search of something to write about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of a weird question, but you know, creators, people, you know, that create music or art of any type, you know, you're always, I think to a certain degree, you know, you're kind of a perfectionist because, you know, you want to put the best representative, you know, piece of your work out there that, you know, really kind of showcases how you feel in that moment and whatnot. Now that the album will be heard by millions, are you pleased with everything so far? If you could go back and tweak some more things or change some things, would you?
Yeah, you know, probably. I couldn't tell you straight off. There's a couple, I mean, because of the time we had, there was a lot of songs to choose from. You know, we narrowed it down to the 11 songs that are on the album. But sometimes a song gets on there and you go, I like this song, but maybe because you hear it so much over the recording process and the mixing and the mastering and all that stuff that you get a little burnt on it, and you start to look back and you hear like demos of songs that almost made it, and you start to go, well, why didn't we do this one instead? Because it sounds fresher. I've been listening to those songs every day for the last 2 years, so it sounds fresher and more exciting. Who's to say if we would have done those that I wouldn't feel the same way about them at this point too? But yeah, I don't know if perfectionist is honestly the best way to describe it. I do think that you want to be happy with what you put out, but it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be perfect. It just needs to be what you want to be, you know. And if it's a if it seems imperfect to other people, that doesn't really matter, as long as it is what you want it to be. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the whole, you know, like you said, millions of people hearing it. I think mainly because I can't control, you know, their opinions about it. It just has to be like, it's a little weird. Like, hey, this is me. Take it or leave it. You know, some people will take it and some people will leave it. And I can't really get caught up, in worrying about either, you know, or getting excited about who takes it and getting worried about who leaves it. It's not out of my hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that kind of translates into some good life advice too. I mean, you know, so many takeaways that you know, with what you just said. I wanted to ask you, what would you say when people hear this album, when they listen to it for the very first time, what's the biggest takeaway that you want them to get from it? Is there a particular message that you want them to take away from it, or are you hoping that it's open for interpretation?
I mean, well, it's always open for interpretation. It is. And that being said, I don't write very cryptically, you know. Like, a lot of the things I write about are pretty straightforward. I don't really bury it in a bunch of, you know, metaphors and stuff like that. I mean, there's shared metaphors, but I don't, you know what I mean? Some people are just like magical where they can tell a story and not tell the story. You know, it's all with like they paint visuals and stuff like that. I wish sometimes I could be more like that, but I'm more of a, you know, I read the lyrics in the song and it looks like a diary, you know, it's just like me talking. But I don't think there's an overarching message that goes through the album. There's a few songs that have similar tone in what I'm trying to say. Particularly, I think Push Pull, if the song itself, it sounds like, you know, guy trying to get girl back, basically. It sounds like a relationship song, you know. But it's absolutely not about a relationship. It's kind of about, I don't know how to describe this. I had a conversation with a friend of ours a long time ago. I'm sorry, my son's sitting here trying to get my attention. And we were talking about like goals and achievements and like things you want to accomplish personally and, you know, in the band and business wise and stuff. And he used a phrase that it's like, you don't want to be on the push side of things. You want to be on the pull side of things. He elaborated, but I knew what he meant and it stuck with me, obviously enough for me to use it as a song, that, you know, we want to feel good about what we do and we want to, achieve success, whatever that means to every individual, you know. But sometimes along the way you get too formulaic about it and you try to figure out what it is exactly that makes something successful or what exactly you need to do to achieve your goal. Let's say if it's not even, you know, business related, whatever it is. And you in the process you compromise yourself to try to kind of to please others, you know, and
absolutely,
yeah, and that's the push aspect. Like you're trying to basically force your way into something, rather than the pull aspect, which means for me it meant just do you, like be yourself unabashedly, and the right things and people and rewards will come to you. It may not be what you thought you wanted in the first place, but it will be the right things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that song is about, to not push anymore, but to pull, let the thing you're seeking pull you in rather than you force yourself into it.
Absolutely. 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 I love that. I mean, that's something that, you know, like I said earlier, you know, just life advice or even like a mantra, you know, because so many things, whether it be a relationship or a career opportunity or anything, you know, I mean, you could be pushed or pulled one way. And so it's just, it's best to try to have that balance, you know. Balance is key to everything, you know.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
You guys are set to perform at the AT&T Audience Network tomorrow night, I think at around 9 Eastern time. How do you feel? Because I know that, I'm not sure, when you were on the hiatus, were you doing any shows during that time, or were you on a complete hiatus?
No, I mean, I guess it was an unofficial hiatus, you know.
Yeah.
We did play a lot of shows. I mean, not a lot, but we played a lot of overseas shows, a lot of one-offs. We didn't really tour much. I mean, we did in the first year or two, but in the last few years, it's just kind of been, hey, you know, you got offered to play here, you got to play there, and we'll go play. But like I said, it was probably equal amounts overseas and stateside. But we didn't do a lot of TV stuff. In general, I haven't always been a huge fan of TV stuff.
Right.
Anyways, it's kind of been like a necessary evil. Just because I haven't often heard bands sound really good on TV, and including ourselves, you know? And yeah, I mean, and it's always been an interesting process when you're used to playing the shows that we have, which is, it runs the gambit of venues, you know? But it's always weird playing in a TV studio with, you know, you're on a TV set, and then there's these cameras floating around and like 50 feet, and then a bunch of people in grandstands, you know. It just seemed, it always was very sterile and unshow-like. But this one was really cool. Like, it felt like a show. And I think I might even say in the interview during the show, like, I totally forgot the cameras were even there. Because of that, it was a lot of fun. I think it turned out really well. And we get to play some new songs and some old songs, and have a really good interview with a buddy of ours, Ted Stryker, who's been a big supporter of ours for a while, which we appreciate.
Right on, right on. What do you love most about performing live? Because I know that, you know, there's a certain aspect, you know, that goes into, you know, recordings, you know, being a studio band, but, you know, there's something so visceral about performing live. What would you say is like one of your favorite things about live performances?
It used to be more, I used to love playing new music for people. Like, I was so excited. I was the one in the band who wanted to play our new songs before they were even ready to be played. You know, like I always want to jump the gun. I'm like, I want to play this new song. And usually the other guys, the band's like, I don't think we're ready for it. And to be honest with you, playing new songs for an audience, especially now with such a back catalog of music, it's like energy-wise in a set, it's kind of like the low point. You know, it's like a selfish indulgence. Like, I want to play this new song because I want you guys to hear it, but you guys are going to just stare at us because you've never heard the song. And it kind of is a momentum killer in a set. So it's a selfish indulgence for sure. But I think, I don't know, it's different. Like, nowadays, I think I enjoy the camaraderie of doing something with my bandmates. You know, it's almost like a team. I really enjoy performing in that sense when we're all up here, like, doing this together. It still trips me out when I see people singing words to our, you know, the lyrics to our songs. Like, it's just weird because, you know, we've been doing it for a long time and I don't know, that's like one of those aspects that I don't know if I'll ever get used to, really, because a lot of times I hear, or I'll see people singing songs, and while I'm singing it, my head kind of wanders off and I'm thinking about where I wrote that song and how long ago it was. And now I'm here. Yeah. Like, now I'm here and this person's singing the song back to me, you know, like,
right, right.
It just seems weird. It seems weird. But I am guilty of overthinking a lot of things, so just ask my wife.
Speaking of which, you're a family man, you know, your father to two kids and you're married. How is it balancing, I guess, family life with being a rock star?
Well, I would never ever use that title to describe myself.
Okay.
And neither would they. So, as far as they are concerned, I am just dad who hooks, takes the garbage out and, you know, and picks them up from school. And every once in a while I got to go work and sing and stuff like that. I think they understand that my job's different than most of their friends' jobs at school, you know, but they don't see me any differently. And, I'm glad for it. As far as the balance, honestly, family, as most people would say, family comes first now, you know, but you still got to do what you got to do. I got to feel creatively satisfied, and when needed, it's nice to pay bills.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that your album is set to be released, I know that there were talks about doing kind of a world tour in support of it. Have you guys hammered out all the details on that, or are you still working on it?
No, we are still hammering. That's more of a booking agent question, and we'll check in with him every so often and go, okay, where are we at?
Okay.
And he'll give us the new information and stuff like that. But as of right now, I don't have much to report.
Gotcha. I understand completely. Doug, I want to thank you so much, you know, just for stopping by today's show. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Just, hey, how you doing? No, honestly, we already covered that, the album's coming out tomorrow. It's, honestly, I think it's really good. I don't critique our own music very much. But I really enjoy listening to it, you know, some songs more than others, but take a listen and, keep your eyes open for when we might be coming through your town.
I love it. Doug, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Guys, that was Doug from the band Hoobastank. Their newest album, Push Pull, comes out tomorrow. That is May 25th. You can check it out. We'll put a link to purchase the album in the body of this post. If you guys are listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also available for iPhone users. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Doug. We're also available for Android users. Android users, go to the Google Play Music Store, search our show name, Redefine the Counterculture. Again, you'll hear this interview. Lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku television, you can watch this interview right in the privacy of your own home. We have over 200-plus hours of original content programming and interviews all free of charge. From the Roku Channel Store, just search for our name. Download our app. Once you download our app, you can begin streaming all free of charge. And we're also available on YouTube. You can watch as well. Just subscribe to us on YouTube at Witten Radio.